Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
He's a staff columnist at the Denver Post, and now he's the author of a brand new book. It's called The Nanny State, How Food Fascists, Teeter-Tailoring Do-Gooders, Priggish Moralists, and Other Boneheaded Bureaucrats are turning America into a nation of children. Please welcome to your turn, David Harsanyi. And I hope I pronounced your last name at least fairly close.
Yes, you did.
And if you don't mind, I'll just refer to you as David through the interview.
Okay.
Let me start out with the title of the book, which is rather long. But again, I want to point out one thing. You reference boneheaded bureaucrats turning America into a nation of children. And I like the entire title, except I want to take issue with the use of the word bureaucrat simply, because aren't special interest groups equally, if not more, culpable in the current state that we're in, the nanny state?
They are. But without the bureaucrats and without elected officials enacting their sort of busybody legislation and ideas, we wouldn't be where we are. And the subtitle is long enough, so I could only fit so much in there.
All right. Well, then let me back up a second and help us understand what is meant by the term nanny state.
Nanny state is a place where government has gone from convincing us to do the right thing to coercing us to do the right thing, on the level of what we eat, what sort of things we ingest as far as smoking and other things like that. Also, the things that we say and political correctness and hyper-risk aversion and those sorts of things that government, in essence, is saying you're not smart enough to make an educated decision for yourself, so we will make it for you.
And, I mean, for people out there who think, you know, oh, does this really happen? I mean, come on, what are we really talking about? I mean, I pulled out of, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal not too long ago, and a column, and the title was Free Donuts at Center of Sticky Debate. And it was a senior center in Putnam County, north of New York City, where the officials were no longer allowing someone to drop off. They had dropped off free donuts, pies, and breads that were being donated to the senior center because the county was concerned about a bad nutritional precedent that they were setting. And apparently, some of these seniors, 75 years and older, they were demonstrating and basically saying, we're smart enough to make these decisions. We don't need the government to step in and say, don't deliver these foods. I mean, if we want to eat them, we should be able to eat them, and that's our decision. Isn't that really what we're talking about?
Absolutely. And I remember reading that story, and what made me laugh was the irony of a 40-year-old bureaucrat telling a 75 or 81-year-old man or woman how to live their lives. I think that when you've lived that long and you want to eat a donut occasionally, I think that government should stay out of it.
Right. And I mean, he said, you know, that part of the demonstration, part of the reason they organized the demonstration was because they didn't want people to believe that seniors were too senile to make good choices. And then he also went on to say, we're 86, not 8, you know.
Yeah.
Is the nannies that we have here in America, are they simply here, or is this an international problem?
Oh, no, it's an international problem. The difference is, I think, that in America, we've always lived our lives or our political lives, at least, with the notion of freedom and individual choice in the background, prominently in the background. But these last maybe decade or more, I feel at least, that the debate has gone to an area where we never even mention those words anymore, and I think it's a dangerous place. Yes, safety is important and health is important, but freedom is more important than those things, at least in my mind, and we've not spoken about it enough, I think. So that's why I wrote the book.
And that's a point I think you make very well in your book, is what would our founding fathers say of today's paternalistic policies?
I mean, I can't even imagine that they could even conjure up what's going on now if they tried at the time. To think that government can tell me what sort of foods I should eat or on my own property if I'm allowed to smoke a cigarette is clearly something that I think they would think is beyond the scope of government intervention.
Well, and you said that, you know, it's been about in the last 10 years when these good intentions became bad policy. And you asked the question right up front, when did we lose our right to be lazy, unhealthy, and politically incorrect? And isn't that what we've lost? I mean, all of those rights and so much more.
Well, we are losing them. I still think we're relatively free compared to some other places, but I think that it's very dangerous. It's a slippery slope. It began with, let's say, wearing a seatbelt because it was the right thing to do. But now in Belmont, California, and Calabasas, California, you're banned from smoking in your own home. These things, you know, nanny state is about little nips at the margins and working your way into the middle, and that's what's happening now. So we're losing these things incrementally, but I think they're adding up at an accelerated rate and a dangerous rate.
Yeah, I like that term slippery slope. I mean, I use it a lot, and I've used it a lot for a long time talking about legal reform and how, you know, some people think, oh, this frivolous lawsuit, we can laugh about this. But really, we can't, because it is a slippery slope, and it's a slippery slope in the nanny state as well. And, I mean, you start down the path of, you know, okay, like the tobogganing. There was a tobogganing case where kids were sliding down on toboggans, and some kids were getting hurt, and so first they started removing all the trees because the kids were getting, you know, running into the trees. And so the answer was, let's remove, you know, the impediment and get rid of all the trees. And then that wasn't enough. And now they're just simply not allowed to toboggan in that certain town. And it's really what we've become.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, one of the drivers of the nanny state is definitely how litigious we've become. And that's our fault on some level. In Florida, actually, I think Broward County, there's a playground that has a sign with all these rules, like 15 rules or something, and one of them is no running. So kids aren't allowed to run on a playground. Clearly, that's something that the administrators or whoever is scared of someone suing them. So, I mean, that's a different area, and obviously, you know, then we can talk about tort reform or whatnot, but still, it's certainly part of the nanny state, yes.
Right. Well, in a minute, I want to talk about how we can fire the nanny if we can. But before then, we've got a lot of callers on hold. Can we take some calls?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, Bob. It's your turn.
Oh, hi, Renee.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, I missed the name of your guest.
David Harsanyi. And David, please pronounce it correctly for us.
That's right. David Harsanyi.
David Harsanyi.
I stepped out in the garage to get the cat, and I guess that's when he was introduced. And the name of his book?
It's called Nanny State. And
yeah.
Then it's got a subtitle that I just think is fantastic. So I'm going to read it one more time. How Food Fascists, Teeter-Tailoring Do-Gooders, Priggish Moralists, and Other Boneheaded Bureaucrats Are Turning America into a Nation of Children. But
yeah.
The book is called Nanny State. And if you look it up that way, you can find it very easily.
Well, I think David's really onto something. Now, I'm 62.66. 66 years in age, okay? Soon to be 63.
Don't lose that 666, though.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Go on, Bob.
Anyway, you know, I was brought up that you earned everything in life, and yet I see young people under the age of 40, and I've got some siblings that are in their mid to late 40s that know people that are in their late 20s and 30s, all right? A lot of these younger people seem to think that the government owes them money for just about everything. And,
yeah.
You know, it really rubs me the wrong way, but I also hear how our government sponsors people coming over here legally, helps them get started, you know, it kind of like bothers me. But this is the nanny state that I guess I started seeing maybe 40 years ago when I was in my 20s, and never realized how it was snowballing because I was too busy trying to just make a living and take care of family things, you know. And it sneaks up on us. Now I'm ready to put in from my retirement pension from the Social Security Administration, going down there, and I see all of these young people that are healthy looking. They got cell phones. They seem to be driving new cars, and I mean, they don't seem to be working all that much. And you know, I think the government is taking care of them, and this is an entitlement sort of mindset that's creeping in. And as I say, I see a lot of these foreign people coming here legally, but they're coming from former communist nations. And you know, there's a good example of people that might be my age or a little younger. And they were given everything by the government, the nanny state, that failed. You know, how do you see any of these things that I'm putting forth to you? I'd like to catch your opinion on some of this stuff, sir.
Well, I think that clearly the nanny state's part of that, and it creates a culture of dependency and entitlement. People think they have the right to things they don't have, and we start also, how can I say this, telling people that there are no dangers in life, that government can protect you from everything, when it's clearly not the case. Now, my parents actually defected from communist Hungary in 1969, and they came here without anything, and government didn't give them anything, and they worked for it. Now, the more we give people who don't deserve it, and this is it's something that we're debating right now with SCHIP and things like that, I think the more dependency we create, and with the nanny state, what we do is we let people think that government is there to protect them from everything that happens in this world. But there's no such thing as total safety, and certainly there's no such thing as government making your life or fulfilling your life.
Yeah.
So
now the 60s, when your parents immigrated, that's two generations ago, and the world has changed. And I think I'm seeing all of these like changes, you know, basically coming together here. And it's going to take maybe another 20 to 30 years, another generation, and the fiber of our nation's going to have changed totally.
Well, there's push and pull all the time, but I think right now the problem is that we don't have any politician really who stands up and defends the right of the individual over the collective. It's always community. Now, there's nothing, of course, wrong with community, but only if you voluntarily want to be part of that community. And the individual means nothing, in my view at least, anymore.
Yeah. And I concur, you know, the government comes along, and this is like, you know, really a ridiculous statement. It's something people laugh at. It's made a joke out of when the government officials come and say, we're here to help you. People take that like, you know, as, boy, we're going to get shafted now.
Well, you know, what problem do we have in this country that some editorial page doesn't say we need government to help us? I mean, every problem, we have to have some kind of government solution. It's never a personal solution. You know, if we have an obesity epidemic, it's no longer an individual problem of that person who's overeating. It's a societal problem that government has to step in. So,
okay, now that we're aware of this stuff, how do we pull the plug? What do we do to put the monkey wrench into the works and, like, jam it up?
So fire the nanny. That's what I want to know. How do we fire the nanny?
Yeah,
I don't know that you can at this point. It's very difficult. I know I'm a little pessimistic about it, but it begins, actually, with people knowing who their city council person is or who their school board member is. And because that's where a lot of this starts, on the local level, and we're so tuned into what's going on in the big picture that sometimes we're missing, I think, the little things. And all those little things add up. So that's how we start. But frankly, I mean, it seems as if American society is heading towards a more socialized and collective mindset, not the other way right now.
So part of the answer is we need to get involved at the local government level.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob. We appreciate the call. Yeah,
bye.
Let's hope we can. Bill, I know you're holding, but we got to take a real quick break. When we come back, Bill, we'll take your question first. We'll be right back on Your Turn. Please stay tuned.
Now, back to Your Turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We're talking with David Harsanyi. He's the author of Nanny State. He is also a writer for the Denver Post, and you can look up his book under Nanny State. It's at Amazon.com as well, local bookstores. And I apologize for the hold. Thanks so much for holding, Bill. It's your turn.
Bob hit on something that I've always thought about. How about SSI? I think SSI has been a contributor to this nanny state, and I'd like to see an enterprising reporter take his camera and go into an SSI office and look at the and just pan the people out there. They're trying to get their SSI.
That's the Social Security offices?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a federal or state building, so no one can say that they're getting their privacy overridden. You know what I'm saying about
SSI?
They're
not violating their privacy. You want them to go in and see who's standing in there getting Social Security checks.
You there, Bill?
Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see. That's not my original question, but, you know, that and welfare and food stamps and all these type programs that are putting the people on the public dole, and they are grow up saying, hey, or thinking that the government owes them something.
You know, it's very hard to turn these things around, as I'm sure you know. Anyone who touches Social Security as far as the political issue is either hurt or it's very difficult because once people pay in, they want to see those checks. They may not think about the larger issues, for instance, that if they had just saved that money in a savings account, they'd probably have more right now. But, you know, it's just all of that contributes to dependency and entitlement. But it's very hard to roll those things back, and that's why I think the nanny states are dangerous because all these laws that are passed every day, they're almost it's impossible to pull back from that. So, for instance, prohibition was, in essence, one law of the land, so easy to come back from it, but this will not be as easy in the long run.
Okay, my next question real quick is, I don't want to take all the time, have you, some of these programs that are being tossed around, isn't there some sort of federal program where a family of four and a person is 25 years of age could get some kind of health care? Do you know about that program? Or somebody's bringing it up, maybe Hillary or somebody like that, that you could qualify if you're 25 years old or younger.
Are you talking about the S-CHIP program that was just being...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure about the 25-year-old thing, but that's a big problem because when you collectivize health insurance in that way, at least in my opinion, what happens is that my neighbor is now paying for my insurance on some level, and he can get involved in my life. I hate my neighbor. I don't want my neighbor telling me how to live my life. So that's a big problem, but that's what's happening. People say, well, when you're unhealthy, I have to pay for it. So the more we socialize medicine, the more I think you'll hear that argument and people getting involved in your personal life.
Yeah, and another word that you very seldom hear is intrusion. The government is intruding on my rights, and I don't like it, but I guess a whole bunch of people out there don't care about it, do they?
Not really, because oftentimes it's this story, at least in my head. You know, when they come for the smokers, everyone says, all right, I hate smoking, so what's the big deal? They're not thinking in the larger terms that property rights are being invaded or that one day they're going to come for something you're doing that's unhealthy. And I think that's what's going to happen, and perhaps then the country will wake up, but I hope it's not too late then.
Yeah, I believe my home is my castle. I pay property taxes. I pay city taxes, county taxes, and all that for my home, and I'm waiting for the government to come in and tell me I cannot smoke in my home or in my backyard. I mean, hey, there goes America. Goodbye, America, this is really intruding on my rights.
Bill, how about this proposition that David writes about in the book Nanny State, the proposition of a Texas millionaire who wants to tax people based on their body weight?
Yeah, sure. I'm not naive. I would believe anything.
Yeah.
I'd like for somebody to call in about this 25-year-old, because what I'm coming across.
What they may be talking about is if they're still in college or something, Bill. But we'll get down to the bottom of it.
And also Twinkie taxes, the one you mentioned, in another form, they've been introduced elsewhere. And in essence, what that is taxes being used to socially engineer behavior. And I'm not sure that that's why we have taxation to begin with. I mean, I know it's not, so it's an interesting sort of twist.
Yeah. All right, Bill. Andrea's on hold.
Okay.
So
thank you much.
Thanks. I appreciate your call very much. Go ahead, Andrea, it's your turn.
Oh, hi. I think in order to so-called fire the nanny or whatever, there needs to be more restrictions on programs like Social Security, welfare, and disability, because there's all these people who don't really need it that are using it. They're just being lazy.
I think you're absolutely right. But, I mean, I guess how do we start to combat that is maybe some of it is exposing it, and that's what Bill was saying. We take the camera to those places and we say, look at the people in this line. Why are they – people need to get irate about it. And Dave talked about, I hate being a pessimist when we talk about the nanny state. But, I mean, I think, if people don't realize that this is the state that we're in and that it really isn't going to get better until we start jumping up and down and screaming about it, we could be in a lot worse situation very soon.
Well, the problem is that whenever you want to cut back on a program, the people who want that program, and often people in government, will run a propaganda campaign to say that you're against children or poor families. And it's very hard for a politician to stand up against that sort of ridicule and debate these days. So it's difficult for them, and they put themselves in a tough spot when they do so. So.
But I like Andrea's idea. That's one way to fire the nanny, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks, Andrea. We appreciate the call.
No problem.
Okay, go ahead, Bob. It's your turn.
Oh, hi. I'm back. Yeah. Glad I got in. Look, I want to go back to the beginning of your program when you had the doctor on and you're talking about, sex amongst young people.
Teen sex, that's right.
And this is, in my opinion, something that I guess I, only the last decade, woke up to understanding. But we're talking about the government helping pregnant young girls and having health care and going on to maybe college credits and all of that paid for by the taxpayer. I mean, I can remember back in junior high school, all right, some kids that I was friends with from my Sunday school classes, that then through junior high and high school, I got to know even better. Well, they didn't graduate because the girl got pregnant, and they went out into the world,
and tried to do the right thing as a young little family, long before the great society of Lyndon Johnson and the Democrats came into existence. And it wasn't easy back in those days for people. And I'm not exactly sure when all of this stuff started to be lavished upon people who just want to basically get a free ride. But there's a good example of what I'm saying is this system of young people thinking that the government's going to take care of them and all of their needs.
That's what the government does. It's the nanny state.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm ready to end it. Damn, so sooner the better. You know, because, I mean, like I said, only 10 years or so have I been aware that this has been going on because I've been too busy.
Well, I don't know that you've been too busy.
Well,
system. I'm
you
not
make
sure.
a great point. Most people are too busy to really pay attention to everything because they have their lives. I mean, they have their kids and their families, and they don't really see. If you take all these nannyistic intrusions one by one, they don't seem like much. It's when you bundle them up that you see a paternalistic movement. So
listen,
I think that
I was brought up
that
you don't get married until you can afford it. You don't have children until you can afford it. And my father brought into this world 7 sons, okay? And I'm sure when he paid his taxes, he was really supporting maybe twice that many people as dependents.
All right, Bob, unfortunately, that's all the time we've got. I appreciate you calling back very much. David, thanks again for joining us this afternoon. The name of the book, again, it's called Nanny State, How Food Fascists, Teetotaling Do-Gooders, Priggish Moralists, and Other Boneheaded Bureaucrats Are Turning America into a Nation of Children. It's hot off press, written by David Harsanyi, and you can also find him by going to the Denver Post website. The book easily available at local bookstores and on Amazon.com. David, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me very much.
Okay, bye, Nanny State. Talk to you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for joining us.